In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I'd like to talk to you about the first reading that we heard from Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be brought into this land. That's the word that is spoken to Jeremiah at the end of this passage. So I think a lot of people during the course of last week, I'm sure I'm not the only priest who's talking about this, were impressed, and I think maybe even a little shocked by the address that that young woman in the States whose husband had been assassinated last week gave at her husband's memorial service. As you know, her 31-year-old husband, who is father of two young children, all politics aside, I know nothing about American politics, I don't care, I just want to talk about that particular event. Her 31-year-old husband, the father of two young children, again had been, as you know, publicly assassinated. And the thing that was so, seemed to almost startle people was her public offering of forgiveness to the young man who'd assassinated, who was accused, I should say, of having assassinated her husband. And at least for a moment, even people on various sides of the American divides, whatever those are, everyone seemed to be kind of stopped in their tracks by it, at least for a moment. It was the, I think, the kind of a moment of sheer surprise, because things have a certain logic, don't they? And it interrupted the logic of things. The logic of things, the way we normally do things, is anger breeds anger, violence breeds violence, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, except times two, and one would expect in a situation like that where people would, at the very best, call for tolerance, people to calm down, whatever it is. There's certain, again, certain logic to things, but for someone, as she did, in her situation, in a state of shock and grief, to say, to call, to announce her forgiveness was startling. And I think people were startled by the, again, by her offer of forgiveness. But there's something not really what I want to talk about. We can talk about forgiveness, what she did another time, and it's extremely important to talk about forgiveness. I think she was given a special grace at that moment, so we'll talk about that another time. But what I'd like to talk about is this, something that maybe a lot of people, not us, but people who are not used to hearing the gospel, missed, and that is this. So you know, if there's going to be ripples in a pond, there has to be a pebble dropped, right? And what was the pebble that was dropped at that event in what she said? The pebble which set out the ripples was a quote from the Word of God. And the quote that she gave from the Word of God, stumblingly, because she was upset, the quote she gave from the Word of God was this: "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." That was the center of everything that she said. That was the, I almost want to call it kind of a lightning bolt at that moment, which left people startled. And that was what interrupted the normal logic that you would expect in such an event of violence. God says in Isaiah, "My word will perform what I intend for it. It will not return to me empty." That's the power of God's word. The words of Scripture, we know, are not just ordinary words. They are God's words, and they don't just make us think about something, they have an effective power on their own. They have a power. They have a power to change things because God has uttered them. So Jeremiah, who spoke God's word, often despite himself, as you know, if you've read Jeremiah, Jeremiah goes, I am sick of being a man of contradiction. Lord, when things are going well, you expect me to warn people that things are going to go badly. And when things are going badly, you expect me to tell people that things are going to go well. And I am sick of it. And at one point, he even refuses to speak God's word anymore. And he says, but it became like a burning fire within me, and I couldn't contain it. Because the word that God told him to speak was often very contradictory. In fact, he calls himself a man of contradictions. So, for example, as I said, when the royalty was very pleased with themselves and the whole operation was running fine and everybody was, they were happy with how business was going, he would tell them about God's grief and God's anger towards them. He'd speak those words of grief and anger. And today, in this reading, as you heard, when things are going really badly, as you heard, Jeremiah's he's being imprisoned, and the Babylonians are mounting their siege machines against the walls of Jerusalem, and the countryside has been conquered. I don't know if you caught what was going on here. It's very elaborate. At that point, when all hope is lost, Jeremiah's cousin comes to him and says, have I got a deal for you? We've got this nice little piece of property in your home village. It just happens to have been conquered by the Babylonians, and you'll never see it, but I've got a really good deal for you. How would you like to buy the rights from this property from me? And Jeremiah goes, yeah, absolutely. You know, that's what I'm going to do. And so we have this very, it's intentional, very detailed recording of the legal transaction that happens between Jeremiah and his cousin. And all the boxes are ticked. And there he is. Jeremiah has this wonderful new piece of property which is conquered, which has now been conquered by the Babylonians. And again, God is telling him once again to do something which is completely ridiculous and completely contradictory. And then he takes the deed, another strange thing, takes half of the deed, puts it in a jar, buries it in the ground, and then goes, here it is. I buried it in the ground. And then the word of God comes to him and says this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be brought into this land. A most unreasonable thing to say in this situation. And you're not sure if Jeremiah is saying it's going to happen soon, or if this deed that's buried in the ground is something like a seed that's been planted, a seed of God's word that's been planted, that's going to kind of grow unexpectedly, like Jesus' parable of the mustard seed, somehow unexpectedly and miraculously in the future. But what we do see here is that God's word does not return home empty and fulfills that for which God has purposed it. It doesn't make any sense. There's no logic to it. There's no context to it. When things are going well, God speaks his judgment. When things are going badly, God speaks his hope. He's not bound by the situations that as we see them or as we understand them. God's word is unexpected and new. So here's a famous theologian that I'd like to quote who was writing at the end of World War I. The new world can be none other than the old world dissolved and overthrown by the victory of God. And how do we know this new world that's been overthrown, dissolved and overthrown by the victory of God? In the word that he speaks to us. That's how we experience it and how we know it. This is why, obviously, I'm talking to the kids about memorizing, because if we memorize these words, they have power. They have a power all of their own, because they are the word that the words are received from God's mouth. So this young woman that I was mentioning, or rather the words of God that she spoke for that particular moment, dissolved the old world by the victory of Christ's spoken word. Again, despite whatever the politics of it are, the miracle is the miracle of God's word, which at that moment left everyone properly stunned, as God's word sometimes does. So the question is, where do you and I want to hear and speak God's word? What situations do we want to hear and speak God's word to us that make no sense at the present? Perhaps the word of God that says, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, houses and field and vineyards shall again be brought into this land." Where in our lives could we hear that word spoken to us, where it's unexpected and it doesn't fit the logic of the situation, but we know that God's word is effective and isn't confined by the way that we understand things? Where in our lives could we hear that word spoken to us? And when we hear it, what effect does it have on us? The way that we feel about things, the way we see things, and the way we think about the future. Where in our lives could we look at that image of Jeremiah planting, in a sense, God's word in that jar in the ground and say, "I may not see the hope in this situation, but God has promised me. God says, I have a plan for you. I have a future for you. I have hope for you. And although it may not make sense now, that this, like the miraculous mustard tree, in the future will come to fruition, as it did with Jeremiah's jar of that deed, unexpectedly in the future, and I can wait and hope." Again, God's word does not return to him empty, but fulfills that which he has purposed for it, as it did 1,500 years ago, and as these same words still do today. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for your word which speaks, which corrects, which guides, which overturns the powers of this world and the ways of this world. We thank you for your word which speaks deeply into our hearts, which speaks the truth, which gives us hope, which gives us a vision of your future. Lord, keep your word close to us, deeply implanted in our hearts. We ask this through your one true word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.